This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Welcome to The Changing Face of Fairview. In this programme, we talk to the Sunnis Senior Citizens Group, who meet in the church in Fairview. We talk to Mairead Hayes, CEO of the Senior Citizens Parliament, located in Fairview. We talk to William Marr, who is a student in St. Joey's School. And we talk to Larry Kane, born in East Wall, who emigrated and returned, and he tells us how the place has changed. We start with Tommy Cummins, watchmaker, who tells us about his Fairview recollections.
Yeah, like when I moved here first 25 years ago, I had, you know, older people, neighbours that had been here, raised their families, otherwise. Yeah. Like there's only, I think, maybe three of those neighbours, which is the local shop down here, Talons.
Yeah.
And another lady to my left here, Mrs. Walsh, who had a shop originally in the area,
yeah.
Closed it down in 1979, she told me. Mm-hmm. And my other neighbour down the road, Nuala, they were the only people left on the road out of the whole block.
Yeah.
Which is a whole terrace of houses here.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a whole different, like, I mean, one might have a Latvian neighbour on my left here, Spanish people, the right, you know.
Mm.
So there's a lot of
different
type of people on the strand now, yeah. You know.
From talking to you, it would appear that sense of community, common identity, seems to be disappearing or has disappeared.
Yeah, it's dwindling away all right now. As I said, we were talking about the New Year's Eve time, where people would actually come out on the street and you'd greet each other and wish each other a happy New Year, and we'd sing the Auld Lang Syne and such things like that.
Yeah.
And that's gone now, like, I mean, because a lot of the neighbours are gone, and there was the Corpus Christi procession, it stopped after a while, because I think that, I don't know whether it was the local church, they just felt that, I think younger people might not have the same respect the Blessed Sacrament that they should. It was a little, you know, they weren't shown the same respect that they probably should have been shown, you know, for it.
Yeah.
Are people losing their religion then, in that sense? Losing, like, mass going was a very important part, the daily mass, etc.
Well, I mean, the church is getting a battering at the moment, you know, because of all the scandals and that, you know, like, and that.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's it, and people aren't, like, we noticed that a lot of people now, I would go to Mass, and my family go to Mass, and I was involved, as you said earlier, with the family Mass. I play guitar, and there's another couple of chaps over there have instruments, and it's a lovely feeling for to get the kids going, and they take them into the sarcastry, and they do a special gospel with them, and and that's very good.
Yeah.
But then, like, I mean, that's gone to die as well, because a lot of the parents aren't going to Mass now, so therefore they're not bringing the children anymore. So that's a big part of Fairview that's actually dying off now, you know, is the church and that.
Yeah.
But that's not just this area. I think that's happening in every area.
Yeah.
So in order to finish up our interview with Tommy Cummins, as he's a guitarist, he'll play some music just to finish up our interview now. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks.
You saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon.
That's great, Tommy. Thanks very much for that. Wonderful.
I spoke to the Sunnis Senior Citizens Group, who meet in Fairview Church.
Larry, tell us about during the war, when people grew their vegetables and had their allotments in the area, kind of allotments and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we lived in a place called Shelmartin Avenue. Back in front gardens during the war, we had to convert them into plots or allotments, as you say, growing your own vegetables, on account of the scarcity of everything during the war. Right?
Yeah.
I was one of a family of 10. My mother and father, my mother died in 1940, so my father had to raise a lot of children. He was a shoe repairer, and he'd go out to work all right, but we would grow vegetables in the back and the front garden.
We have Lily Smith here, and Lily's going to tell us about the Choral Society. She's going to tell us about what they did, the operettas, etc. And also the famous Mrs. Linsky, who operated in the Pear Tree, which is now a spa shop on Phillipsburg Avenue. Tell us a little bit about the Choral Society and Mrs. Linsky.
Well, we had about an even number of both men and women, and we used to go twice a week to rehearsals. We put on some small operettas, the Count of Luxembourg, Rosemarie, and a lot of the others I slip my mind now. Age is a terrible thing. So yeah. We used to go twice a week, but we also put on a passion play during the festive season for Passion. Yeah. And we used to go around to some of the convents and put it on for the nuns and that. We all dressed up, of course, and I had three sisters who were with it, and my brother, Lord Rest, my brother, yeah, and one of my sisters, they were both in the society with me.
And then for dancing, then people went to Carlton Hall to see Moyes, Metropole, Cleary's Capital. So which was the most memorable of these places then? Who wants to say a few words on that?
For me, it was the Metropole. We used to go in there every Saturday night for our dancing, which was lovely. Yeah. It was lovely music that was played. It wasn't like the modern dancing of today. You had a partner and you danced with your partner. You didn't dance on your own like most of the youngsters do today, you know.
I hated going dancing because it was like the lads would be all on one side of the hall and the girls would be all at the other side. It reminded me of a cattle market. So I that was out of the question for me. I didn't go many times, especially the Crystal.
Were you kind of afraid that a guy mightn't come over and ask you to dance, was that it?
No, it was just that they were eyeing us up like...
So was it a bit like that, the fellas on one side, the girls on the other side, and then the fellas behind them up? Yeah?
The only time I remember that was when we were in the country. Yeah. Like they used to line up on one side of the floor and they make a mad dash. But they used to line up, but never in the Crystal, and I never... came across in the Crystal or the Metropole or anywhere in town.
It depended on where you were. And what about talking? Do people chat in the street and that kind of stuff?
Well, if you go to the shop and you meet a neighbour, you will have a chat. But I suppose the day of going over, I remember when I was raising my children to get their summer holidays, and we'd all march over to Fairview Park there. Oh. We'd sit there doing our knitting and the children would all play, and you'd come back and you'd get your dinner. Oh. That was the thing, the neighbours, we all did every summer anyway. Yeah. Which I don't know whether they do that nowadays. They're all too busy working now.
I remember what Rosine said about going to Fairview Park. And it was a... now, I'm not a native of Fairview, but I'm here nearly 55 years. Yeah. And a little group of women used to go to Fairview Park, and we sat on the bandstand. Yeah. And it was... it's been replaced by mother and toddler clubs now. Things are organised for people now by the health board and by parishes. Yeah. But we had it, we organised it for ourselves without knowing we were doing that. Yeah. And you went along and you sat on the bandstand, and as Rosie said, you did your knitting and you rocked your baby in the pram and you took the baby up for Christ. And the other women gave you advice. That was the principal thing.
Yeah.
That was the best reason really for going, was that no matter what was wrong with your child, there'd be somebody there to advise you what to do. Mm. It was as good as going to a doctor. Oh, and there was a priest in Fairview that time called Father Kingston. Mm. And the women who stood and talked were the bane of Father Kingston's life, and he was the bane of our lives. Yeah. He didn't like to see a little knot of women stand and talking, and he would break us up. He would say, go on home, you should be at home getting your husband's dinner.
Yeah.
Change times.
Tommy Condren, community leader, spoke about church rituals and organisation and the role which Canon Flanagan played.
In the church, there was a sodality there for the young people. There was a sodality every Friday, once Friday in every month at 8 o'clock. And on the Sunday morning, we went and there was Mass and received Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Each row in the church had a number. And there was a prefect, and that prefect, when you came into the church, marked you with a P. And you had to pay a penny, and when you paid your penny, he dotted the P with a penny. This was his accountancy.
Yeah. Okay. So then, as you were saying, then this Father Flanagan, then he was held in high esteem, and people revered him, and then they were very sad when he died.
When Vander died suddenly, the people of Marina were so grateful to him. Those collections made every week for the altar rails and a pulpit in his memory.
So he was a kind of a giant among men, was he?
He was a marvellous man. Yeah. He made Marino.
Okay.
And he built the church and all, and the schools.
Yeah. So he was the man who made Marino.
He made
his
Marino.
Father, Canon Flanagan.
Mairead Hayes, CEO of the Senior Citizens Parliament, spoke to me about the Parliament and about activities which take place in the area.
Basically, the Senior Citizens Parliament is an umbrella organisation which looks after the interests of older people, and we have countrywide about 400 organisations who affiliate to us. There are a lot of older people living in the area. A number of them are very involved. There's a very good centre in Ballybock. In Marino, we have the Marino Community Centre, the Carlton Hall. Lots of activities organised there. A new hall built a number of years ago through the good offices of Dublin City Council and the Lottery and the Department of Health and Children. And it provides an outlet for young and old, truly intergenerational. And that's what we like to do. One of the differences in Fairview probably is that there's more rented accommodation along the Strand and in parts of Fairview. So there's slightly more transient, and from what I've observed anyway, there's young and old who are in that rented accommodation. You know, it can be families or it can be older people.
Blind Burka spoke to transition year students of St. Joey's Secondary School about how they see Fairview.
So we're here in Joey's with some of the lads, and some of them are from Fairview. And what do you like about Fairview?
There's a lot of stuff that we can use, like the park and Westwood for school and stuff.
There's a lot of young people in here. Yeah, the park and like Westwood, and there's like a lot of shops and
it's good sports things and all in the area as well.
Yeah, and like there's a lot of schools as well. So
everything's nearby, you can do anything you want to.
There's a great variety of stuff to do in the area.
Cool. And do you think Fairview has distinctive historical features or aspects?
Not really.
Yeah, with the Bram Stroke and Casino Marino and all just up the road and all that.
Yeah, and it was like the site of where the rebels met up in 1915 for the Holt gun run.
Education plays a key role in people's lives. In the series of The Changing Face of Fairview, interviewees describe their recollections and experience of the educational system.
I grew up in a group of houses that were five houses there, opposite what's known as the Players' Lounge now. And they were all built by one family, the Canavans.
That was the voice of Michael Fitzgerald, who went on to speak about his educational experiences.
My first school was a place called St. Mary's, which is an infant school just up off Phillipsburg Avenue. I went there I went there till I was about seven. Yeah. Then I went to Joey's Primary.
Oh, you went to Joey's?
Yeah, they went to the primary then.
Oh, so what kind of a regime was there?
Hideous. Yeah, well, I mean, the lay teachers were all right, but the Christian Brothers, I mean, I make no bones about it. The Christian Brothers were one of the biggest disasters that ever happened to Irish education. Mm. They were not fit for purpose, generally. Don't get me started. Ireland needed a state education system, and what we got was one that was subcontracted out to the Christian Brothers. Mm. What made it worse is that we were considered inner city kids. Almost exclusively, our Christian Brothers were country people who hated inner city kids. Mm. Yeah, and I'm not going
but,
to.
Did they use a lot of discipline? Or people, kids?
They used brutality, John. They used brutality.
Brutality was the order of the day.
Yeah.
So, what years are we talking about, roughly?
We're talking. I first went there. It would have been about 58, and I finished in 69.
Oh yeah. Because that's right. Because corporal punishment wasn't banned until something like 82.
Yeah.
William Marr recalls some of his experiences.
There are some who maybe couldn't control in a sort of a more advanced, up-to-date fashion, and they still resorted to picking out students and making sort of examples of them by using the leather, you know, and maybe they'd start off and trying to teach in a right fashion, but they couldn't control, and students knew they had weaknesses, and the students, to be fair, tried to exploit these, and maybe you could hear a noise kind of level rising in the class, and this would, the teacher then would get very annoyed, and you could just see panic starting to come, and then some people then would be very unfairly picked out. Maybe they just did one thing that, you know, that the teacher spotted, and it would get, the teacher would lash out, and then that would, he would have lost total control then altogether, because nobody in the class would respect him at all.
Jim Kelly of Dublin City Council talked about the reasons for the delay in restoring Fairview Park's bandstand.
Yeah, well, I can fully understand that it was a fine piece of architecture, and yes, again, like a lot of Fairview, an iconic site for people travelling through Fairview. Mm. But I don't want to waffle too much on about that.
Yeah.
We're obliged to have public tenders using EU public procurement rules. And unfortunately, the award of the successful tender to a contractor has been challenged in the courts.
But the money is there and it's ready to go as soon as these legalities are sorted out. So there's no shortage of money.
That's correct, John, yeah.
Yeah. Niall Ring, local military historian, talks about Easter Monday 1916 and how the 2nd Battalion fought their way from Fairview to the GPO.
It happened on the Monday morning that Thomas Hunter, who was the second in command, went to Frank Henderson to tell him his particular unit had to get into Stephen's Green by 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But this was impossible to do because by Monday people didn't know exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
So at about 1 o'clock, Oscar Traynor, Frank Henderson, Leo Henderson and Thomas Weaver, who were captains of four of the companies, met and decided what they would do. Mm. Now, they had an order that half the men were to go to Stephen's Green, so they sent, fulfilled that order immediately.
Yeah.
So the senior officer there, Thomas Weaver, went into the GPO on the Monday afternoon, spoke to James Connolly personally and asked what he was to do. Mm-hmm. So he came back and said the men are to be mobilised and get into the GPO.
Yeah.
So they mobilised what was left of the men, which would have been about 100 of the 200 out of the area who were involved in the rising.
Yeah.
And they lined up ready at Father Matthew Park and marched obviously down Fairview Strand, down Ballybock. There would have been, in military terms, there would have been the advance guard of about 25 men.
Yeah.
Then the main body of men under Weaver would have been in the middle, and then Frank Henderson would have had the rear guard.
Yeah.
And they were marching over Clark's Bridge at Ballybock when the scouts who had gone ahead, and these would have been Fianna Éireann, young boys on bicycles.
Yeah, Fianna Éireann, yeah.
They came back
and
said there was British soldiers in Summerhill coming back towards Ballybock.
Yeah.
So Weaver made a decision to retreat back to Ballybock Bridge.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the advance guard had gone up Bayview Avenue because they had seen some British soldiers at that point, and they engaged with them, but the British retreated and went down East Road, down towards North Wall. Frank Henderson's unit in particular took over Mars Pub, as it's known now, and the off-license that's about 50 yards from it. Thomas Weaver brought his men into the GPO at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So the rear guard took over these two buildings in Fairview, from which they had a strategic view up Richmond Road to make sure no one was coming down from Drumcondra.
Oh, right.
And they also had a view of Fairview, Fairview Strand, to make sure nothing was coming
way.
And after the British had retreated from the advance guard who took them on, the other unit, those 25 men, came back into those two buildings and they spent the night there.
Yeah.
The next morning, they heard gunfire from Ansley Bridge.
Yeah.
And it was another, this was where the Citizens' Army, under, I think it was Captain Craven,
yeah,
had engaged with British troops,
yeah,
who were coming along the railway line.
Hmm.
So that was another, so there were already two battles in the Fairview area by that stage, by the Tuesday.
Yeah.
So then the scouts reported that there was British soldiers coming down Malahide Road from towards Fairview, and British soldiers coming down Drumcondra. So again, a messenger was sent into the GPO, mm-hmm, and an hour later the order was given to get the rest of the men into the GPO.
Yeah.
Crossing Marlborough Street into the junction of Talbot Street, they came under very heavy fire from a sniper in the tower at Amiens Street Station.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually made it and got into the GPO on Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
And they were addressed by Pierce, mm, and then they were addressed by Connolly, who both congratulated them on holding their positions. And okay, it was on Saturday that at 16 Moore Street, Pierce, Connolly, and there was three of the other leaders there, had the final council of war, mm, where they decided to surrender.
Eileen Canaan describes a visit from the Black and Tans to her home.
Oh, the Black and Tans. Yeah. My mother had told me, mm, that the Black and Tans came, mm, and they came in and they were looking for a man with a scar at the side of his face.
Yeah.
Down the, yeah, side of his face. And my father was in bed and he went over to him. They went over to him. They weren't nice. They weren't nice. No. And they went over to him and they saw that he had a scar on his neck.
Yeah, because he had
goiter. And he had a goiter removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why so they let him off. Yeah. It didn't suit what they were. They took him away to examine him.
And during, when he was away, what did your mother do?
Oh, of course she... My mother told us
yeah, okay,
that she got May in my father's guns, what he had,
yeah,
in and put them into the bottom of the pram,
yeah,
and walked from the top of Camden Street,
yeah,
all down by, mm, Pym's shop, yeah, and all along,
yeah,
into O'Connell Street,
mm,
and stood at the bridge,
yeah,
and got the guns and threw them over into the river.
Larry Kane, who was born in East Wall, emigrated abroad and returned home. He describes the Fairview area, how it was and how it has changed.
My name is Larry Kane. Well, to talk about Fairview and East Wall, it's changed a lot, you know, since I was a kid. It was because people were poor at that time, but they were very happy. We needed one another because we were poorer,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So tell us then, you went to America, you were a long time there. So what do you miss about this East Wall Fairview area? You're walking through the park now this morning. What do you miss that's not there, that was there before you went to America? And what positive things do you see now?
Well, positive things? Well, yeah. I miss the friendliness.
Yeah.
You know, the people were more happy.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
what I figured, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm, I think isolation is huge.
Mm.
And it's very sad.
Okay.
What I'd like to say, I think there's great hope. For Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, because I see the new people that's coming in.
Yeah.
It's they're the people I think that have to get accepted.
Yeah.
Like.
So what do you mean by the new people then? Who do you mean by the new people?
The new people that's coming from, they still call them foreigners.
Yeah. You think they have a lot to contribute?
They have
They
have a lot to contribute to. Okay. Yeah, because they want to work.
Yeah.
You see, the thing about it is, it's the problem about here now is you have people who have never worked.
So tell us about the ballerina club where you used to go dancing into rock and roll and stuff like that, learned all the different dances, that people took dancing much more seriously than they do today. Tell us a little bit about this ballerina club.
Well, a ballerina, it wasn't a club, it was a dance hall.
Yeah.
It was a dance hall.
What street was it in?
It was. It's in the centre of the city.
Yeah.
And just off O'Connell Street.
Yeah.
The ballerina. It's
yeah.
And it was Frankie Blores.
Yeah.
And was a singer there, you know.
Yeah.
With Joe Coughlin, the band was Joe Coughlin.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic band.
Yeah.
And they played there 7 nights a week.
Yeah.
I learned how to do all the steps.
Yeah. So what were the steps now?
Well, a tango.
Tango.
When you have to do a tango,
yeah.
And you had to do a quick step.
Yeah.
And a foxtrot.
Foxtrot.
And it was different, and you had to be able to dance with it, and so you didn't kick the girls or stand on our feet,
yeah,
you know.
That's right. Yeah.
And you had to be, you know.
Yeah.
If you were, you know.
Yeah.
And there were some fantastic dancers. The inner city girls were beautiful and they could dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
I'd like to sing a song for you.
Oh, sing a song.
Okay.
A song.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
Beautiful.
From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses die. Tis you must go and I must buy.
If I could talk to my great-grandfathers, I would say the old times are gone. So much has changed. But love, like the wind, is still here. When all else fades away, faith, hope, and love will remain. Those feelings that are so strong, so mysterious, will always be with us. I think of you, my relatives, and I thank you. I thank you.
All the following are gone. The Fairview Strand, the Charlemont Estate, Merino House, Croydon Park and House, the Fairview Holt Tram, Father Matthew Park, Fairview Cinema, the Fairview Bandstand, the latter perhaps temporarily. Gone are the wide open spaces of Merino, replaced by high density housing estates. Some of the senior citizens interviewed spoke of time before television, when there was a greater sense of community, when children were more creative in the games they played. Some expressed the opinion that there was a less coherent community today. There was an overall sense, however, of people being pleased with the facilities in Fairview, with some younger residents and workers expressing contentment with the area, and expressions such as, Fairview is a closely knit community. Fairview has always been a multicultural community with many religious denominations. Today there is an ever-increasing multicultural diversity. Overall, there is a strong sense of history, literary, architectural, and military, underpinned by love and care of the elders and respect for the ancestors. This series links the Fairview community with Near 90 FM, a community radio station. It also links the community with the environmental organisation Forest Friends Ireland, thus sowing the seeds for environmental conservation.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.